Hi, everybody, and welcome to KSFR's Heart Talk Radio.
I'm Robert Page Kaufman, psychotherapist. Hey, I'm just a guy who's very interested in any and all issues related to relationships, love, and otherwise. Tonight, I'm here again with my two esteemed co-hosts, resident sexologist and loveologist, Dr. Ann Ridley, also known as the modern Aphrodite, and the spiritual oracle of early evening radio, Reverend Phil Strom. And we're all here this evening to talk about relationships. Now, this being a call-in show, we invite you to call and share with us what you might be thinking or feeling about tonight's discussion. The KSFR phone lines are now open, and here's the number if you'd like to get in on the conversations, and that would be 505-428-1382. Or if you'd like, you can also send us a text at area code 505-930-1477. And time permitting, we'll address your point of view over the air. We really want to hear from you. In any case, good evening, everyone, and good evening, Dr. Ann.
Good evening,
good
there.
Good evening, friends.
Dr. Ann Ridley here, the modern Aphrodite, clinical sexologist, loveologist, psychotherapist. Not necessarily your regular kind of gal, I guess I should say. I love that you say that in your opening, but. And
just a regular guy.
And yeah, and this is my favorite month, I gotta say.
Oh yeah.
Valentine's month.
Valentine's.
It is the month of love.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So we have some good topics for you this month. Mm-hmm. And I'm also joined here with Reverend Phil.
Greetings and blessings. This is Reverend Phil, and I am a I am a
spiritual oracle, apparently.
I'm a spiritual oracle of
early
yeah. evening radio.
I love that.
I hocked my crystal ball a long time ago. I don't know if I could do this job anymore. Anyway, I am a transdenominational interfaith non-congregational minister and a state licensed counselor here in the state of New Mexico. My basic approach is that without a spiritual component, we do not heal. And part of that approach, most of that approach, is based on the fact that we are divine creatures and that divinity comes from unconditional love. So that's going to be an interesting tie-in to what we're going to be talking about this show and the next couple of shows, because it's all about Valentine's Day, which is about love, but that love is not always unconditional.
It's love talk.
And Dr. Ann.
And relationship and sex.
And relationship and sexuality.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so excited. It's February 1st. I have to say, I wake up and I'm wearing pink tonight. I'll wear pink
shocking
probably
every
pink,
day. I must say. I can't
bright
see
pink.
Straight.
I know, it's bright. Yeah, for all of you, that's just a little visual there. But I love the month of February. It also can be a tension-filled time for a lot of people.
Definitely.
In relationships or people having single awareness days, and all of the stress that can come with that. So we're starting our three-part series, I guess, on Valentine's Day-related topics. Now, these are topics that we find important year-round. It just is that Valentine's Day shines a spotlight on a lot of these relationship issues. Maybe you're brought to the surface.
How about dysfunctions?
Dysfunctions.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I have to say, things that are going really well sometimes in relationships are celebrated around the time of Valentine's Day. Maybe it's a momentous occasion to be grateful for the relationship that you have. For a lot of us, it's the opposite experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where we fall into expectations, the pitfall of expectations, which then breeds resentment.
I wonder if that has something to do with me not wearing shocking pink.
Possibly.
It's dark. I have dark stuff on.
You do. It's brooding a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
So are you saying this is a reflection of your soul?
No, but maybe a reflection of how I sometimes scoff at Valentine's Day because mm-hmm. of the arbitrariness of the day and how we're supposed to power pack our love for our partner and possibly the whole world all rolled into one day.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a problem for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And I think that there can be a stress in the time leading up to it as well.
Absolutely. A lot of relationships break up right before and after Valentine's Day, mm-hmm. statistically. But speaking of statistics, can I say a few statistics about Valentine's Day?
Please.
Did you know that spending in this country averages about $13.29 million on 180 million cards and 198 million roses, dinner, tickets, gifts, and other sundry items? Women buy most of the cards while men buy most of the roses, and the importance that many people attach to the day seems not to be negligible. A whopping 53% of women say they would end their relationship if their partner didn't remember Valentine's Day. Though, on the flip side, statistics indicate that approximately 11,000 children are conceived on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, we have a lot of Scorpios flying around because of Valentine's Day.
So if you find this scary that somebody actually bothered to compile these statistics, that troubles me.
No, because...
Well, they are making a point.
Okay, I have to say, for someone who owns a business whose busiest day of the year is Valentine's Day, it reinforces why I like it so much.
Is that for your relationship or for sales?
Sales.
Okay.
Sales and relationship. It's
both.
For those of us who are in retail and have something to do with the gift-giving theme, mm-hmm. right, romantic
mm-hmm.
theme.
The romance.
I've also worked restaurants. We loved Valentine's Day because it was guaranteed good money.
Love tips.
Love tips.
Yeah.
For sure. So I think that there's a couple layers of why people like or don't like Valentine's Day. You know, it seems like such a negative, materialistic sort of holiday, but for those of us who benefit from those things, we like it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like saying that there's a validation for the drug dealer on the corner because they're benefiting from it.
I don't sell drugs.
Right.
I sell a love high, maybe.
And what do you think's at the base of that? Their own adrenaline, their own biochemistry.
Yeah, but well, that's you're talking about drugs. And
that's a little different.
That's a little different than the love theme of the whole Valentine's time.
Right.
February.
The point of this is connection, which if you take Valentine's Day deeper than the surface of just validating each other's worthiness or whatever, then you get into the piece of connection. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Of, I need to work on my relationship because these are the things that I'm not having that I really wish that I had in the relationship. Maybe those are the things I should be giving to it.
Right. Everything seems to be magnified.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the love time, or at least society's view. Again, with all these holidays that we've talked about and holiday times and everything, there seems to be a lot of expectations. Maybe we need to get into that a little bit about these expectations, seeing that we are kind of front-ending the Valentine's Day holiday time.
But personal inventories cannot be done personally. They need an individual who is totally, you know, not connected to it to help guide it. And it's not a one-day create a pros and cons list.
That but it's pushed that way. It is pushed that
that's
way.
That's the point. So it can't possibly succeed based on the parameters in which it's being presented.
It depends how much you buy into it. And for some people, they have a great time, even with all the societal expectations. We can't just have one brush and say it's, you know, one size fits all. Not necessarily. Some people go along with the hype and they have a great time, it seems to me.
Yeah, I mean, I was just reflecting on past relationships as opposed to the relationship that I'm in now. And I know that there have been Valentine's days where I wasn't very happy in my relationship. And to me, it created a stress, if you will, of how am I going to perform? How am I going to perform emotionally? How am I going to perform physically if I'm not really there? And the expectation was huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. I'm looking at a Psychology Today article, How Valentine's Day is Ruining Relationships.
Oh.
It's pretty catchy, you know. So they're saying, you know, a holiday of love, a day to celebrate your significant others, but for some it's not all roses and chocolates. Multiple studies, including one tracking Facebook breakup statuses, have shown that couples are more likely to break up in the weeks before and after Valentine's Day. So why does a holiday meant to celebrate relationships result in more breakups?
Because it's been over-marketed.
Yes, the hype.
Okay, but it also makes us look at the reality of our relationships.
But it sets unrealistic expectations as the parameters.
It absolutely does.
So that's the over-marketing.
I have to say, I read this phrase in an article today called emotional pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so struck by this. I read a lot and write a lot of things on relationships. I've never heard this term. What they were talking about is movies and shows and imagery around Valentine's Day and saying that those things present an idealized story of romance, which in a similar way to visual pornography can be harmful to our expectations in real life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a real correlation there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, we can't give away what we don't have. We can mimic something, but that only takes us so far. You know, I could see this and, you know, there's whatever movie. You know, and they do all this neat stuff at the end and they live happily ever after. So I can go through those motions because I've seen them. But if I haven't experienced them, I can't. I can't go deep with this. I can't give away what I don't have.
Mm-hmm. Understand that. But we're also talking about the magnification of everything. It seems like relationships are really, you know, under the microscope during this time. I don't even think it's Valentine's Day. It's this kind of time surrounding.
Well, and there's New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, the resolutions get in there.
Yeah.
The expectations.
Mm-hmm. It's winter.
Yeah.
In some places.
Not here, I guess, but.
You know, the bottling up of all, you know, our love for one special day. That's where I think we can get into a lot of problems because, you know, American holidays, too, can kind of go too far with the hype, and they go on and they go on, as opposed to, well, maybe every day should be a day of love for yourself and your partner, if you do have one. You know, every day. You know, why is it just – it just seems more – it's good for commerce.
And if you have love for yourself, you will reduce or eliminate the pressure to have a partner.
Mm-hmm.
You allow that to happen the way it's going to happen. You don't force it. You don't try to make it. You don't try to fake it.
Mm-hmm. We have a text that came in from Moses from Miami wants to know, let's see, and says, the commercialism of Valentine's Day creates pressure for and can be very depressing for those who feel they cannot participate. What fulfilling ways can the season be spent for those who are unattached?
I have a great idea because I've done this. For many years, I want to say maybe 10 years, I have on Valentine's Day sent a single girlfriend flowers anonymously. And it is something that I really enjoy doing. But anyways, point being, it doesn't have to be romantic love. The holiday is built around romantic love, but I also do this for my children, you know, something special for them, a little extra special treat or a special way to say I love you that I maybe don't normally do. I think that we can do that for our friends. I also, having done quite a bit of coaching for people who are looking to meet someone online, often people go to a singles party on Valentine's Day and have great success meeting someone. Because if you're single on Valentine's, you don't want to go to a restaurant You know?
Right.
I mean, what are you going to do? Stay home and eat chocolate? And some people love doing that, and that's fine. But if it depresses you, possibly looking in the paper, there's always a single Valentine's event. And to go with a girlfriend or a guy friend or something like that and just go have a good time. I can't tell you how many times people meet someone on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm. But don't forget, a lot of people also feel pretty comfortable. I know as a single guy that I'm kind of comfortable with that day because the day kind of comes and goes so quick. You know, for me to see a movie, sporting event or hang out with some buddies or whatever, it's not like I need an event to feel okay. I know a lot of people mm-hmm. do feel they need to find these singles parties or whatever, mm-hmm. but you have a whole year to find singles parties and all that kind of stuff. So for me, it's not so event driven that I rush to the reporter or see what's going on. It's more like, well, let's just see how the day unfolds. It's all good.
We need to take a break here and get in a couple of PSAs, and we'll be right back. I want to pop in here for a second. Two things that you said, Anne, I want to touch mm-hmm. on. One is sending flowers anonymously. Don't you think that creates a false expectation for people? There's somebody out there who really cares about me.
And well, there is, and it's me.
But they're not...
They don't know who it's coming from.
Right? So what if they put it in the romantic context instead
so
of...
So what?
Well, that gets their hopes up into something that
so
never
what?
Materializes.
So what?
What's wrong with getting hopes up?
What if you take a medication and you have the placebo effect? So what? It's a placebo. And here's the reason that I'm doing this is because you brought up the same point last year when I told this story.
Did I?
The exact same point. And you know what? I think that there is something that is joyful in the giving. You know?
I'm not saying it's not, but that's for the giver, not for the receiver.
Depends. I think everyone's different, and I'm sure the persons that you sent.
I think it's a very sweet thing to do.
Yeah, and some people probably took it as very sweet.
Yeah.
Probably, I'm guessing
absolutely.
Most of them.
Absolutely.
Did you ever hear any feedback?
Well, sure, because there were questions, oh my gosh, who sent me flowers? I can't believe that. I totally wasn't expecting that. I was dreading this day. Mm-hmm. And so what if nothing materializes?
It's a nice gesture.
It's really okay.
Yeah.
Because maybe it puts a spring in someone's step. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I have to say when I was growing up, and I remember being in high school, and they would deliver the flowers and the balloons on Valentine's Day at lunch, where it was this huge production, and everyone could see who was left out. And I would stress every year about that lunch. And so this was sort of my way of paying something forward, you know, of like it for my adolescence, was a very anxiety-provoking day. And to feel left out, not even like unloved or not validated. It wasn't so much that. It was just that, you know, it sort of picked at that wound.
You know, I got to tell you, this is kind of a Beaver Cleaver moment. But I love my best recollections of Valentine's Day were my little classmates
yeah.
in elementary school. And we were just passing around all these really colorful Valentines and everything. And it wasn't romantic, but everyone was feeling so good.
So sweet. I have a 10-year-old who's in fifth grade, and we picked out his Valentines yesterday. And I said, would you like to get a special Valentine for a special someone? And he said, no, Mama. And I thought, what is it about our culture that frowns upon or that provokes teasing at a young age for kids who have a crush on someone? Because I've seen this with both of my boys. They're different ages. They've had different classrooms. The experience has been the same. I can't show that I have a special affection for someone of the opposite sex, or I will be teased.
Or accused of building it up into something, you know, fantasy land or something.
And what's wrong with that? Where, I mean, this brings in as well the hypersensitivity and awareness, the positive awareness that we have of gender equality and having lines around sexual harassment and that kind of thing, which are extremely important. But at what age does that start? I don't think that that's what's happening in the elementary school. I just wonder.
In the home.
And there's no pressure, you know.
I mean, it's cause and effect. You're seeing the effect. The cause is their main exposure. It's to what they're seeing in the home, their male model, the father, their male parental figure. That's where they're learning it.
But my kids are not learning that. I'm a single mom. They're not learning that model.
But they're the ones who are receiving the input, so to speak.
I mean, I find it fascinating, you know, at what age is it appropriate to show that you have a crush on someone? I recently...
I had a crush on my mom when I was born.
Yeah, I mean which is normal.
Really.
But I recently...
Pre-verbal.
My very first crush ever, I was in fourth grade and he was in sixth grade. And I didn't think that he ever knew who I was or anything. Well, because I never shared it with anyone other than my parents. Mm-hmm. He contacted me on Facebook recently, which was, you know, it was like the little girl in me sort of blushed.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we send this message to our children?
The message.
It's just, I'm curious.
The message being?
The message being you shouldn't show that you have a special affection for someone, or you will be teased, judged, ridiculed. I actually think that part of that comes from a lot of people say they're afraid to love, but really they're afraid to not be loved back.
Part of it's a U.S. society thing too. You know, when I've traveled in Europe and everything, I always see those school age kids arm in arm. Girls holding hands and being very close and being very affectionate with one another. Not in this society.
Mm-hmm.
I sure don't see it very much. People really, you know, boundaries. And I understand that with all that's going on in the media and all the crazy in the...
Yeah, but even years ago, I mean, I remember a teacher telling my children that they couldn't hug each other, their brothers, in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
When they saw each other at school.
That stuff happened back then, too.
And I don't understand that.
I remember with my...
That's a reflection of their upbringing. They're showing you what they were taught.
Well, it's also societal imprinting and influence. There's that as well.
Societal reinforces what's already been put there.
Yeah, I agree. It goes both ways. Yeah, absolutely. But, when I thought back, and how it was in my elementary school, it was just so much freer. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember sitting on my teacher's lap, playing mm-hmm. with her jewelry, mm-hmm. and her being affectionate with
mm-hmm.
me. And I just remember how nice that felt, how warm it was. And I just wish we had that in our society
more. I do, too.
But because of some of the crazies out there.
Well, I think to sort of wrap this back around to expectations,
mm-hmm.
that I find it's really important to not have hidden expectations. But if you have expectations for Valentine's Day, share them. Hey, babe, I'd really love to go out to dinner. That'd be so nice if you could plan that. And then maybe I'll plan something fun dessert or after
dinner.
Well,
those are positive expectations.
But those hidden expectations.
Well, the hidden ones you can get into trouble.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But the fear of rejection. So they hide them. And they sit there and they simmer and they boil over. And
yeah.
But that's what Dr. Ann is saying.
That expectation.
Right.
That's what Dr. Ann is saying, to be able to talk about these things open.
Ask for what you want.
Yeah. And if it's in a positive sense, I mean, there is something, hidden versus positive expectations. I think that's okay to dialogue about, to communicate.
But the fear of rejection is inherent in those individuals, and that's why they don't speak
in
their truth.
In some, yes, in
if they're
some,
not speaking
no.
their truth, then why would they, where else would that come from?
Well, because I think some couples are also thinking, they know what I like. And so every year I like to go to X, Y, and Z on Valentine's Day or get the flowers or whatever, so they already know.
Mm-hmm.
But often, you know, they're thinking two different languages. And if the fear is rejection, I often tell couples, too, what you want from a relationship is probably what you should be giving.
It's what you say all the time, Reverend Phil.
It's what the Beatles
said. It's communication.
Yeah, the love you take is the love you make.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
So if you want more connected, intimate experiences, maybe even outside of the bedroom, then that's what you give to the relationship. Oftentimes, we can train our partner in a way to what we like by doing those things.
Yeah, it's not all.
Instead of saying, why do you not do this for me?
Or accenting what we buy for the person, you know, that materialistic stuff.
Or all the things
stuff.
They do wrong.
More often than not, I believe that partners, they use extravagant dinners, gifts, Band-Aids, all sorts of stuff that mask chronic relationship problems.
And I think it's almost time to say goodnight.
Oh, no, not already.
But we'd love to hear your thoughts and comments for us. You can reach us at our Facebook page, Heart Talk Radio Santa Fe. You can send us private messages there if you'd rather not have that public. But please feel free to comment and follow us for future show updates.
Right. In our contact information, mine, you can check out my website at www.honeymoon-forever.com, where I feature my written and musical works. You can also reach me for private counseling, life coaching sessions at 505-930-1477.
And this is Reverend Phil, and you can reach me text or phone 505-670-9961. Without a spiritual component, we do not heal.
And I'm Dr. Ann Ridley, the modern Aphrodite, and you can follow me on Facebook at that page info. You can also email me themodernaphrodite@gmail.com. I also see clients individually, and I also have another fun component to my business if you'd like to check me out on Facebook.
The love goddess.
The love goddess.
The modern Aphrodite as opposed to the old Aphrodite.
And I can help with all things Valentine's related.
So all of us here at Heart Talk Radio would like to thank you again for tuning in this evening. And a special thanks goes out to our very talented master engineer, our own Scott Boardmeister Schuker. And just a quick reminder that Heart Talk Radio is on the air every Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. Mountain Time, except for the last Thursday of the month. And our next broadcast, I believe, will be on Thursday, February 8th, still before that magical Valentine's Day, right here on KSFR 101.1 FM.
And if you want to hear this show or any of the past shows, you go to churchoftheonegod.org. That's my website. You go to Reverend Phil on radio and television. You do the click down menu. You find Heart Talk Radio. Bottom of the page, there is a download streamable line for each of the shows we've done. So never be without Heart Talk.
So from all of us, stay tuned in, stay connected, and don't forget to keep